Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Put mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the New Testament book of Romans. The New Testament book of Romans in chapter number 15. The New Testament book of Romans in chapter 15. We are closing down on this series of the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, where we've left him off, is that he's been in prison. That he went to Jerusalem after his third missionary journey. While he was at Jerusalem, there was a misunderstanding, a riot. He was almost beat to death, saved by the Roman soldiers. After that, he was put into jail. When they found out there was a conspiracy to kill him. I always still wonder what happened to those guys who made a promise that they were not going to eat and drink until the Apostle Paul is dead. But they dropped him to Caesarea, where he was there for 2 years, and those guys are really getting hungry. Then he was brought to Rome and put under house arrest, where he was there for another 2 years, and those guys really must be looking for a Snickers bar after that. While he was there in Rome, he was put in house arrest, and he had freedom to meet people and to have people come into his house. And many people came to know Christ as a Savior through the Apostle Paul being in house arrest. We also saw some of his prison epistles being written. For example, the book of Ephesians, the book of Philippians, the book of Colossians, and the book of Philemon. After 2 years in prison, Jewish representatives never showed up. And so after 2 years, the Apostle Paul was freed, that no one was there to accuse him, no charges were ever drawn up, nothing ever happened. So he had his day of meeting Nero, nothing ever came to it, and now he is released. And as he's released, guess what? The Apostle Paul has more plans. He's not on a retirement plan, he's not trying to say, well, I've had enough. But we see that he had plans. He actually recorded them in the letter of the book of Romans, that what he desired to do even years before he had even gotten out of prison. Remember, the book of Romans is written probably in the third missionary journey. But in Romans chapter 15, Paul spells out his plan of reaching the world. And that's a good plan. So let's see what the Apostle Paul's plan, according to the Bible and the inspiration of God, about reaching the world. And notice with me in Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, starting at verse 15. Romans 15, 15, notice what the Word of God says. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in the sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace of God given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought to me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and fully about unto Iconium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I will trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thither by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make certain contribution for the poor saints that are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Whereof therefore I have performed this, and have sealed unto them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come to you, I come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them which do not believe in Judea, that my service for which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Romans? The book of Romans chapter 15. And notice with me in verse 24. Romans 15 and verse 24, the phrase, my journey into Spain. My journey into Spain. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach this idea of Paul's plan of reaching the world with the title, Journey into Spain. Journey into Spain. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. A God who is worthy of worship, worthy of service, worthy to be glorified, worthy of all of our labor, all of our attention. Everything we go through, you are worthy. And Lord, I thank you that you don't leave things to our own devices, our own plans, but your way is perfect. And that you've already provided a way to reach the entire world. Help us to be alert. Help us to be awake. Help us to understand what our part is in reaching the world. And that we, even though we're in a small town in Wisconsin, we can have a worldwide impact as we obey the Word of God, as we follow through. Lord, I'm asking again that you would do something special in this message. Help us to have a spiritual awakefulness. Help us to have a spiritual alertness. And we love you. Lord, once again, I dare not trust my own. I don't even have the physical health. You watch over my throat, that you would protect it and give it the strength and allow it to be used as a vessel for you, for the words that you want to come out. I'm asking that you fill me with your Holy Spirit and that you do it all and that you make it clear and that you would help us to get on board with what you already have planned in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul always had a world view. He looked at the world and he saw a world that was dying and going to hell. He saw within it people, men, women, boys and girls who would go to an eternity away from Christ in an awful place called hell if they did not hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And so as the Apostle Paul went out, he, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, had a desire, a plan of reaching the world. And that plan still stands today. It still has a work. And we have to realize that we still have the same problem. That today, we have 3.1 billion people who have never heard of Jesus. There are 3.1 million people in this world who don't have access to a Bible. Think about this, that we have more Bibles than we know what to do with it. If anybody wanted a Bible, they can go and get a Bible for almost a dollar. It's nothing to them. But for people all around the world, if they do have the Bible in their language, a Bible can cost up to 1 month's wage. Now, a lot of people are starving. A lot of people are trying to make it from day to day. They don't have the ability to take 1 month's wage just to get a Bible. That's a big problem. And without the Bible, how can they read for themselves the wonderful words of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. They cannot read it for themselves because they don't have access to a Bible. What's even worse is that of those 3.1 billion people who have never heard of Jesus, There are many people within those numbers who don't even have the Bible in their own language. Meaning they couldn't even read the Bible for themselves, even if they could get a Bible, because there's not one that exists. We are so spoiled because we have so many Bibles. And to be honest, our Bibles collect dust and we don't appreciate it. Where if those people can just have a page of the Word of God, they would treasure it. They would read it over and over. There are so many people who don't have the opportunity to hear. And to be honest, most of the time we're oblivious and we don't even think about it. There's a world who's dying and going to hell. There's a world who's never heard the name of Jesus uttered. They have no clue who Jesus is. This is a problem, but God has a plan to fix it. And we have to understand that God does have a desire. Today we have in our world what is called the 1040 window. Some of you may have heard that term. For those of you who haven't, this is a window that's 40 degrees north to 10 degrees north. That means north of the equator. And they cover from West Africa to the Sea of Japan. So what we have is a little box, a little window. And inside of that strip, we have most of the world's population. And in that window there, most of the world's population who has never heard of Jesus Christ. There's an entire region, entire window that we have not touched, that we have not closed. And instead of Christianity, it is dominated by Hinduism, by Islam, and by Buddhism. And they believe in those alternate religions, and those religions will damn them to an awful place called hell. That we have within our world a whole window of people who are dying and going to hell. And by the way, that 1040 window has been in existence for quite a long time. And it's been preached about. But you know, we haven't done anything to close that window. The way that we've approached missions, the way that we've dealt with things, the way that we're going, we're allowing those people to die and go to hell without a plan, without a way to reaching the people. We have kind of lost out. And part of it is just because we haven't done anything to it. Now, I want to remind you that God has a desire to reach nations. Now, we have to define terms, because today we think of nations as a geopolitical organization, like the nation of the United States, the nation of Canada, even though it's not a real country, it's a commonwealth. But anyways, but you know, we think of geopolitical maps. But nations, according to the Bible, are people groups, what we call people groups. They're a group of people that are banded together by a common knowledge, by a common language, by customs and geography. And there are people groups all the way around. For example, there is a people group inside of Mexico. Now, we think of Mexico as a poor country. But do you know that there's a people group, a group of Indians that do not speak Spanish inside of Mexico? They do not speak Spanish. They speak their own language. And the Mexican people think they are the poorest people, and they have nothing to do with them. They shun. Do you know that they do not have the Bible in their own language? Now, they don't speak Spanish, so you can't reach them with a Spanish Bible, but they don't have a Bible of their own. They can never read John 3:16 for themselves, and there is no missionary that we know of to reach those people. You know what's going to happen? Those people are never going to hear about Christ, and they're going to go to an awful place called hell. There are literally, if I remember right, just as an estimate, 40,000 people groups all around the world. There's a tribe of pygmies, little small people, in the jungles of the Congo that they do not have the Bible in their own language. They're a people group, and they will die and go to hell without knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. And God's desire is to reach every nation. I'm not going to go through a word study right now, but if you go through all of the Bible, God says to reach every nation. When you reach the book of Revelation, it will say that there will be people of every tongue, every nation, every tribe who will be worshiping God. God desires to reach every nation. This is God's plan, God's desire, and we have to get on board with what God desires to get accomplished in the world. So with that being said, let's look at the book of Romans, chapter number 15. And let's see Paul's strategy. And if I could also say the Lord's strategy through the Apostle Paul to complete the Great Commission, to accomplish the Great Commission. The first thing that we want to say here is that the first step is that in order for the Great Commission to be accomplished, the first step is the church needs to be in revival. The church needs to be in revival. Now, what do we mean by this? Well, let's look and see what the Bible says. Notice with me in Romans chapter number 15. Romans 15. And notice with me in verse 15. Romans 15, 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you of some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace of God that is given to me of God, that I should minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering to the gospel of God, and the offering up of Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified of the Holy Ghost. So first of all, he says, I'm writing unto you to remind you that the Gentiles need to be reached, that this is acceptable, that offering to the Gentiles, that God desires the heathen as an inheritance. It says in Psalm 2, verse 17, I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient, notice this, by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Iconium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now, Paul says, I've gone out and I've done part of my duty, that I've preached from Jerusalem all the way to Iconium, and I've preached the gospel of Christ. But we need to take our place, and we need to allow God to work. But in order for us to reach the world, we have to be in revival. Do you know that revival is the natural state of a church? And that if a church is not in revival, it's not where it's supposed to be. Now, someone says, all right, well, those are good terms. What is revival? That's a good question. Revival is when a church is at the place of obedience. It's prepared to obey God, and God pours his outpouring of his Spirit upon them. So as we are prepared as a church, individuals within a local church, ready to obey God, God pours out his Spirit and he enables us to obey what God has given us to do. But we have to be at the place where we desire, we want to be obedient. That's the problem right there, is our want to is broken. That we have no desire to see the world reached. When's the last time you thought about people outside of the United States dying and going to hell? You know, it's one of those things, out of sight, out of mind. Where's our burden to reach the world? We have our own burdens. We have things that we're thinking about, going paycheck to paycheck. We're worrying about the job. We're worrying about this. We have a lot of things we worry about ourselves. But what about the world dying and going to hell? Where's the burden? Where's our obedience? Where's our desire to see it done? Where's our looking unto Jesus and saying, God, what do you have? And as we prepare, as we are thoroughly right with God, God pours his Spirit. In fact, there is a prescription for revival, and we could put more stuff on revival, but let me give you that prescription or revival that Dr. R.A. Torrey put, and he says it's worked everywhere I've given it. That it starts off like this: let a few people, and it doesn't have to be many, get thoroughly right with God. He goes on to say and says, until that is done, nothing else I give you will work. So what does that mean? It means the very first step, if we're going to have revival in this church, is that a few of us need to get thoroughly right with God. That means you allow God to take the Holy Spirit of his, the spotlight of his Holy Spirit, and shine it everywhere in your life and get it right with God. To make sure you have nothing between you and the Savior. That there are no hidden secret sins. That you are as right with God as possible. And you stay that way. That's the first step. That if we're going to have revival in this local church, a few of us need to get serious with God and say, you know what? We need to be right. We need to be correct with God. We need to be nothing between me and the Savior. Now we're talking about our fellowship with God. That if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you're right positionally. You are one of His children and nothing you can do about it. But sin can mar the fellowship. And that's what we're trying to stay fixed, is that our fellowship is right with God. There's nothing between me and the Savior. But that's the first step, that if we're going to have revival here, that there needs to be a few people who get thoroughly right with God. The second step is that those few people who get thoroughly right with God, let them set themselves together for prayer until revival happens. That those people, and it doesn't have to be many, set themselves to prayer until revival comes. We have not because we ask not. We just don't pray. We don't pray to reach the world. We don't pray that God would reach, that God would pour down revival, that God would do something. We don't crave it. It's not a big deal. By the way, you know why people don't want revival? Because they don't want to get right. And then after that, they don't want to take the time to pray and to beg God to pour His Spirit down. But it starts off with people getting right, and then those group of people pray until it comes, meaning they're going to pray every week. They're going to get together and they're going to beg God to pour a Spirit, that this is something that's important, something they desire to happen. And then the last step is let those people set themselves completely to tell others about the gospel. That they make it their business to go and tell people about the gospel. And by the way, you'll never be concerned with the people across the ocean if you're not concerned about the people across the street. Once you start getting a heart for people to get saved, you start to get a heart for people everywhere to get saved. That it doesn't become something we have to do to get off a checklist. But we are concerned about men and women, boys and girls, coming to know Jesus Christ to be their personal Savior. And that we want to see all men come to Christ, whether they're in Wisconsin or whether they're in Italy, whether they're across the street or whether they're across the world. But this is where the revival starts, is that if we are going to take our place in reaching the world, it starts with having revival here. Now, we can't do anything about God pouring a Spirit. That's His business. But we have to be at the place where once His Spirit is poured out, we're already at a place where we're ready to obey and ready to follow God, whatever He does and however He gives to us. So we have to start off an revival. This is so important. The Great Commission is easy if we have revival. You know, the deal is that we have to be right as a church. We have to be right as people within the church. That we have to be at the place where we're saying, God, we want what You have. We want to get on board with what You have. But that's the strategy that the Apostle Paul gives, is that they are supposed to go. And we're supposed to have God's power. That's the secret of reaching the world, is God's power, not our power. We have to have His power. That's what he was talking about, pouring his Spirit. Notice again, verse 19. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. So that bound about from Jerusalem and unto Iconium, I fully preached the gospel of Christ. Paul is saying, you know how I reached all those people? By the power of God. It was His Spirit that poured out. It was God that was doing the work. It was God that was working those people. So the first part of the strategy of completing the Great Commission, in order for the Great Commission to be accomplished, the church must be in revival. Starting next week, we're having a missions revival. You know why I call it a revival? Because it is our reminder that we need to be right with God. In order to reach the world, we need revived. We need to be right with God and prepared for His outpouring of His Spirit. And I want you to be there approaching the idea that we should be right. We need to be prepared. We need to be ready to go. Whatever God would give us to do. That it starts off with us being in revival. The second thing that we see in this text, for the strategy of completing the Great Commission, the strategy for accomplishing the Great Commission, is that first of all, the church must be in revival. The church must be right, and the power of God is upon it. The second thing that we see here is that Paul made specific plans to reach the world. He made specific plans to reach the world. Notice with me in verse number 19. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Icarium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. What he said is that he, the Apostle Paul, had preached the gospel from one part of the Roman Empire to the other. Today, Iconium is modern-day Yugoslavia. So Paul's strategy had been going and starting churches here and here and here. And what he did is he started at major centers of areas. And from those centers, he taught the native people to go out and reach their own land. For example, let's use this example that we've covered. That the Apostle Paul went to the city of Ephesus. Ephesus is in modern day Turkey. And from the city of Ephesus, he taught at a Bible institute, the School of One Tyrannus, for the space of 2 years. And from that space of 2 years, all of Asia heard, all of Turkey heard. Was that because Paul went and reached every door? No. It was because Paul started at a center and he taught the people how to reach their own people. So we had a man who came to Paul and he learned from the Apostle Paul. And he went to the city of Colossae and he started the church of Colossae. We had another man who came and he went to the church of Laodicea and he started the church of Laodicea. We had a person who went to Hierapolis and started a church of Hierapolis. And what happened is that Paul started in a major center and he trained the people from that major center. And from that place, they spread out like spokes of a wheel and went and reached every place. That's what you get the opportunity to do as you go back through history and look at Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon's looked at as the prince of preachers. And people have an idea that people always flock to the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. But you know what happened? Paul preached a message Sunday morning and 3,000 people took that message and they preached it all throughout London that next week. You see, it wasn't Charles Spurgeon going and reaching everyone. He was training people and those people went out and reached him. That's the goal. That's the plan. You know, we have a center of Green Bay right here, which is in the northeastern part of Wisconsin. And surrounding that, we have all kinds of small little towns. We have Black Creek that does not have a good gospel witness, as far as I understand. We've got these other small towns. Now, don't these small towns need to be reached? Yes. How do we do that? We start by having a center where we could train people. We train the people and they go out. Wouldn't it be nice to have a good local independent church, a Baptist church in Oneida? What about Hobart? What about these other things? Green Bay is big enough to have a lot of different missions into it. And so we have to have a strategy like this, that we're not here to have a church of 2,000. We're to have a church that we train people and kick them out, train people, kick them out, train people, kick them out. That's our desire. That's what the biblical plan is, that we are to train people. We're a training center and we train them to go reach their own people, to get a burden for their own towns, to get a burden for the people around them. That's what Paul did, is he went to the big places, he started a church, trained them, and they spread out to the little places. And everyone was reached. 2 years, all the people in Asia Minor had the opportunity to hear the gospel. That's pretty amazing. But that was God's plan. That's exactly what God had in mind. And so, first of all, how are we going to accomplish the Great Commission? First of all, our church needs to be in revival. That we're at a place where we're right with God, ready to obey, and God empowers it by His Spirit. The second thing is that we make plans to go and to reach the world, going to these big centers. Notice with me in verse 20. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel. Notice this, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. You know what we need to do is that we need to go find where there is no gospel witness and then try to reach those people. You know, God has not called me to be the keeper of the aquarium. He said to be a fisher of men. I'm not trying to get people from other churches to come here. We're trying to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and then teach them from there. There are plenty of lost people that we don't have to steal churches or members from other churches. We want to go reach people ourselves. There's plenty of lost people out there. But after that, think about these towns that don't have a church. We need to go start a church. We need to make plans. We need to have a vision for it. We need to be praying for these places now. Notice verse number 21. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. What the Apostle Paul is doing is that he is quoting the book of Isaiah right here. And he has these concerns that he wants to go, that God's plan is always to go reach the rest of the world and to go to people that haven't heard. That's what our desire is too, to take the gospel witness and to bring it to people that have not heard. So what is the strategy so far? First of all, the church needs to be in revival. Second of all, that we understand that the church needs to make plans to go reach the people. Then notice this, that we see that Paul made plans to start local self-supporting churches that can reproduce themselves and take their part in missions. So we are to take part in starting churches that will reproduce themselves. Do you know that every healthy organism reproduces itself? Every healthy organism reproduces itself. And every church that was started with the idea that one day they are going to reproduce a church. Now, if we say that every healthy organism reproduces itself, you know what this church should expect someday? To reproduce itself. One day we're going to have an announcement and said, guess what we're going to have in 9 months? And everyone looks at my wife and she's going, no. But we should make an announcement that we're going to start a church from this church. That we need to get to the place where we're strong enough and healthy enough that we are starting churches from this local church. And that we're starting those churches with the idea that they are going to start other churches. And that we need to be multiplying. We need to be going out. We need to be reaching people. By the way, this same idea works. I have a missionary friend. He's coming next year for our missions conference. But he's in the in Kazakhstan, which is part of the former Soviet Union. And Kazakhstan is one of those stan countries that's run by the former KGB. Now, in the Kazakhstan, it is illegal for a missionary to reach Kazakh people. It's illegal. You cannot do it. So you said, what is he doing? Well, what he's done is he's found a people group inside of Kazakhstan. He's found a group of Korean people inside of Kazakhstan. So it is not illegal for him to go and reach the Korean people. Now, the Korean people can therefore, because they are Kazakh people, they can go and reach the rest of Kazakhstan. You see, that's a Pacific strategy. That is something we can do, is go and reach those people, and then those people can have the responsibility of reaching their nation. That's what missions is supposed to do. That it's not supposed to be dependent upon a missionary and everyone has to cling on him. The missionary is to teach those people how to reach those people, the rest of them. By the way, that's what my job is. My job is to train you how to go reach everyone else. It's not my job to reach the world. It's my job to train you so you go reach the world. That's the plan. That's always been the plan. But local churches are supposed to start other local churches. That's the whole plan. That's exactly what the Bible says. Let's say, by the way, I can't wait till we have a multiple cultural Sunday school. Can you wait till the day that we have an Arabic speaking Sunday school? A Korean speaking Sunday school? A Hmong speaking Sunday school, a Spanish speaking Sunday school. Now, we may not be able to reach the whole Hmong population, but what we could do is that we could get a few of them saved, a few of them coming to Sunday school, and they could be reaching their own people throughout the community. You understand, this is how it works, is that we have a few people that we could train and they go reach their own people. And here we are living in a wonderful place called America where the immigrants come to us. Think about Madison, how many different languages are spoken in Madison. We could go and reach the world, and guess what? While they're coming to Madison for school, we could win them to the Lord, and they get saved, and we could train them, and then they could go back to where they came from and start a church and reach their own people. You see, this is the strategy. This is God's plan. It can be accomplished. It can be done. But we have to realize we have to take our place into it. Notice as we go on that there is a specific strategy of reaching the world. First of all, the church needs to be in revival. It needs to be at the place where it's ready to obey and God pours his spirit out. That we also realize that we're to make plans to reach the unreached, to make specific plans to go, that we need to start churches who has its responsibility of starting other churches. Then we also realize something else, that the love of God is the true goal. That the love of God is the true goal. Notice with me, if you don't mind, as we fast forward, go into verse number 30. Verse number 30. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together for me and your prayers to God for me." Notice what it says. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of Spirit." We realize that the love of God is the true goal. Do you know that missionaries don't go because there's a need? They go because this is what God has given them to do. They're going because God sent them. You know, the biggest place of need in your life is where God sent you to go. You understand, there was a time I preached to the Bible Belt and I was a pastor there. You know, I didn't go there because there was a need. There's a church on every corner there. I went there because that's where God sent me. You know, why I'm here now is not because of a great need, even though there is. I'm here because that's where the Lord sent me. And that God has a plan for people to reach the world. And that the goal is always God. Why should we go reach the world? Because of those poor, poor people? You know, I don't really like missionary slides because what they try to do is get you to put your heartstring. They all have the skinny little kid. You know, you count the ribs and, you know, if he ate a piece of rice, his neck would stick out because, you know, they look at him. You look, oh, poor people. And you say, oh, look at those people. And you get a burden for them. But guess what happens to a burden? It goes away. Why should we help those people? Because we love the Lord and God loves those people. Our goal is always God. Our goal is for Him. We're looking for Him. We want Him to be pleased. And that we do it for the Lord Jesus' sake. Why are we taking our place in missions? Why are we trying to reach people? Because I love the Lord. Not because they have a need, but because He died for them. And He went to hell. He paid their hell for them so they wouldn't have to go to hell. I'm doing it because of the love of Christ. He loved those people that He gave His life. And because I love Him, I love what Christ loves. He loves those people and doesn't want them to die. And so I'm taking my place because of Him. God is the goal. The people are not the goal. The world is not the goal. God is the goal. And we're doing it because of the love of Christ. So what do we do here? What's the last thing? We talk about that, first of all, that the church needs to be in revival. It needs to have its rightful place. After that, we have the idea that there are people that need to be reached and make specific plans. How are we going to reach them? Then we expect that churches are going to start other churches to reach the world. Then we realize that God is the goal. We're going towards Him. Then Paul asked other churches to strive together in prayer. That he begged churches to strive together in prayer. Notice verse 30. "Now I beseech you, therefore, by the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." He says, I want you to pray for me as I go reach the world. You know, one of the biggest reasons why God isn't doing more is because we're not praying more. We're not going. Do you know that Jesus had only one prayer request to his people? Only one. You know what his prayer request was? Is that we would pray, therefore, to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his field. You know, sometimes people say, how can I pray for you? And they give a prayer request. Don't you want to pray for them? Well, Jesus says, I got a prayer request. Will you pray for me? I want you to pray that you would send forth laborers. That you would pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. You say, how does that work? Well, we all know about cell phones, and if I asked you how does a cell phone work, most of you would say, I don't know. But you know, a cell phone doesn't go from one cell phone to another. For example, if I was to call you, my cell phone doesn't just go to you. You know what it does? Is it goes up to a tower, it goes up to a satellite and bounces back down. So if I pray for to the Lord of the harvest, you know what? My prayers go up, then he bounces the prayers back down. And he could work on someone's heart. That as I'm praying, God starts working on someone's heart and say, you know what? I need to go to the mission field. I need to go. I can't wait to go. I want to go reach those people. I got a love for those people. That as you're praying, the single's getting bounced down. Now, sometimes the single might even bounce back to you. That as you're praying, God starts preparing your heart to go. But we need more laborers. We need more laborers. We do not have a harvest shortage. We have a labor shortage. The harvest is white to harvest. It's ready to go. It's ready to be picked. There are many people who are ready to get saved if someone would just show them. We just don't have enough laborers. We do have enough laborers. They're all right here. We just have to be willing to go. You see, we have our place to do. We have our thing to do. That God has given us labors. We could have our place. That we're supposed to pray. And we're supposed to pray. And we're supposed to pray. And God will do a work. You understand that if you're praying. And you're invested in it. You want to get them saved. There's a whole bunch more that we could hit in this passage here. But we're trying just to keep it simple. And keep it brought down. There's stuff about giving to missions. I'll show it to you. Verse 27. And have highly pleased them verily that their debtors they are. For the Gentiles have been made partakers of the spiritual things. Their duty is to minister unto them for the carnal things. Meaning that if it's our responsibility to reach the world, we'd be willing to give the money that's necessary. Because money is necessary to go reach them with the gospel. You know, it takes money to get tracts. It takes money to advertise. It takes money to get the missionary on the field. You know, when's the last time someone's came up to me and said, Pastor, we really need to let the whole city of Green Bay know. Here's some money to take a full page ad out of the newspaper to let people know the gospel. When's people been concerned? You know, we understand that where our heart is, there our treasure is also. That if your heart is to reach the world, your treasure will follow. But it starts with prayer, that our goal is God, that we're going up to Him, and that it can be reached. This is what I want to get across to you. It can be done. You say 3.1 billion people is a lot of people. It is. But it can be done. And we need to take our place and our part in what God is getting accomplished with the Great Commission, and we need to be prepared to go. We need to be prepared to do what God has given us to do. And so it starts off with revival. We have to be right with God and ready to obey as God pours out His Spirit. We need to come up with a specific plan. By the way, we do have a plan that we're going to train men and women, boys and girls to go out and reach their people. That's what we want. That we expect that we're going to start local churches from this local church. That we're going to expect to go reach the world and start other churches. That we ourselves, we realize that God is the goal. He's the one we're pleasing. He's the one that we want to be happy. And if we love what He loves, we'll love souls. We'll love people. And then it's our prayers. Our lack of prayers is why things aren't getting done. That we would pray more. Jesus has given us a simple prayer request. He says, please, would you pray for this request? Pray that God would send forth laborers into His harvest field. Pray. That's what I want. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers. Could you not take His prayer request seriously and to pray? And when this is all done, guess what? The world can be reached. You know, according to the book of Colossians, that everyone in the Roman world had the opportunity to hear the gospel. Didn't mean that everyone got saved, but everyone had the opportunity to hear the gospel. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to say within our generation? That the entire world had the opportunity to hear the gospel. That's what we're supposed to do. Is make it so everyone has been able to hear. And that God can use us here in Wisconsin to reach the world. If we take our place in what God has already set up.
Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.